News of the campus murder was spreading like wildfire. I arrived after almost everyone else from my floor had already flocked in. Many of the students from the floor party were there, looking aghast as the videotape rolled, showing me being marched up the precinct steps. I looked guilty, even to me. Worst of all, I appeared to be smiling, not that I was. Larry Magnolia showed up, too, in time to see the videotape rolled again. He reacted with unbridled glee.
"Robinson, you are so dead now. You are dead meat. You are done. You are finished. You are going to get what's coming to you. Dean Simmons is going to chew you up and spit you straight out of here. You're out."
It was indicative of the core of his character that he didn't let a moment's sympathy for the murder victim get in the way of his celebration.
"Yahoo, this is like Christmas come early."
I was attempting to think of a snappy retort, but my friend Roger Novak beat me to it. "If there's a psychopath loose on this campus, it's you, Magnolia." He jabbed a finger through the air at him. "I got your number, mister." Others said, "Shut up! Quiet, everybody!" The newscast was now taking us to the spot where the body was found. A reporter was standing in front of the broken-down hedgerow, now festooned with yellow police tape. At the same time, he was pointing behind him to where the body had lain. The TV reporter then signed off and sent the coverage back to the anchor desk. There, the anchorman continued reporting the story. In the upper right-hand corner of the screen was superimposed a headshot of the murdered co-ed. It must have been her high school graduation picture. She was identified as Beverly Martindale, a junior attending Barnard. The picture showed a vivacious-looking cheerleader type, with straw blonde hair, big eyes, and plenty of teeth. It was definitely the face I'd seen under the shrubbery, except the one last night looked more like a wax mannequin than an actual human being, death having stripped away all the attributes of a living person. "Anybody know her?" someone in the room asked. Nobody did. Only one said he had ever seen her before around campus. Following the newscast, they all wanted to hear my account, so I gave it. They all seemed to believe me, except perhaps Rosalind Joslin, who had also shown up in time to see the same coverage on another channel. She still had her fingers to her lips and looked like she was now busy imagining herself lying on the other side of the police tape. Larry Magnolia said it didn't matter whether I had done it or not. Either way, my goose was cooked. The lounge emptied. Everyone went off to his or her first class of the semester. I went off to three of mine in a row and found I had to give an oral report at the beginning of each one to satisfy the curiosity of both the professor and the students. Returning before lunch, there was a post-it note on my door saying to report immediately to Dean Simmons' office.